Welcome to another episode of GEQ Speaks, your go-to platform for insightful conversations, captivating stories, and thought-provoking discussions. GEQ is a series of experiences, and we're just making sense of that as we go along. That is what we're doing here, one conversation at a time. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into our episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Shahad Al-Sayed, a sophomore at GUQ majoring in IPOL, and I'm going to be your host for today's episode. Joining us today are three students who've journeyed to different corners of the globe for their study abroad experiences. We have Ra'id Asad from class of 2025 and Kaltham Al-Sabai'i, also from the class of 2024. Let's have everyone quickly introduce themselves to the listeners.
Okay, hi, everyone. I'm Kaltham Al-Sabai'i. I'm a senior, and I'm graduating this year. I'm a CULP major, and I went to study abroad in London at SOAS.
Hi, my name is Ra'id Asad. I'm a third year right now at Georgetown, and last semester I was in DC, and I'm an IPOL major, minoring in history and doing a CAS certificate.
So before we dive into everyone's semester abroad experiences, let's do a quick overview for our listeners about the various study abroad opportunities that are available here at GUQ. So typically during their junior year at GUQ, students get to choose a semester to study abroad, either spring or fall. So the popular choice by demand is our main campus in DC, followed by our campus in Italy, both of which are covered by GUQ's financial aid package. And on the other hand, students can also venture off to the beaten path to independently explore other destinations like the UK, Japan, or Korea. And in this case, it's completely up to the students' ability to research and plan to facilitate an enriching experience for themselves. There have also been instances in which students have studied abroad for an entire year as opposed to a singular semester. But of course, our Hoyas can't wait to come back to GUQ's close community, the place where we all take pride in calling our homes. So with that being said, let's dive into today's discussion on studying abroad experiences. So let's get started with you guys on a personal note. Why did you guys decide to study abroad in the first place and like leave your comfort zone? Like, walk us through what exactly sparked the decision.
Okay, so for me, in the future, I hope to be in diplomacy or in a field that a foreign service. So I knew that before I make the decision of where I wanted to work, I had to experience living abroad and alone for the first time. And I also just had the urge of like being independent and trying to see who I was outside of the comfort of like my family and the country I've grown in my whole life.
Yeah, so the reason why I chose studying in D.C. last semester is mainly for my career. I'm an IPOL major, and obviously, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen. So living in D.C. for 4 months and getting the experiences and kind of the connections needed to kind of advance in that career in that field, particularly in foreign policy and diplomacy, you have to spend like 4 months in D.C. just getting to know people and probably even more. So that was the main reason why I wanted to do so. I also lived downtown. I didn't live on campus for 4 months. I lived in a place called 8th Street. And that was a different experience to my friends and on the main campus, because it's basically like an apartment. You live with three other classmates of yours in this building, a very new building in DC, and you really get to experience Washington DC for what it is. I think the issue with living on campus, nothing against my friends who live there, but, you're basically holed up in Georgetown, which is a really nice neighborhood in DC, and it's actually older than the real city itself. And it's very easy for you to live there the entire 4 months and not really get to know DC beyond the Washington Monument or the Capitol, or the Capitol building. So I think living not just downtown, but also in DC was a new experience for me, and also not just my career, but for my personal life as well.
So do you recommend people to stay outside of campus other than like to stay in dorms?
It depends on what you want out of your semester. For those who want to really get to know people at Georgetown, socially, living on campus is more ideal. But if you're someone that wants to see DC for what it is, I think living on 8th Street is a really good experience, because the neighborhood itself that you live in it's a bit of a gentrified neighborhood, to say the least. It used to be kind of bad 10 years ago, but it's gotten a bit better because of all the investment that's been put in that neighborhood. So it's a really nice place to stay in. I'd say the one downside is that there's a shuttle program that takes you from 8th Street to main campus or the Hilltop that happens every 30 minutes or so, and it stops at like 10:30 or 10 o'clock. I forgot the exact time. So you can't really stay on campus unless you take an Uber, and Uber there is very expensive. It's like at least, I think, $20 just to get an Uber from main campus, from Hilltop to 8th Street. So, you know, it's not ideal if you want to stay on campus for long hours. But if you're someone that just wants to live in a nice apartment, you get your own room. It's a new building. Whereas on the Hilltop, it's different because you have to live in a dorm with other people. And the buildings are much older. I think we've all seen the disasters on Georgian Hot Mess on Instagram. And it's somewhat true. It's not as bad as what it says it is, but it's still, I'd rather live in a newer building than some of the older stuff that's happening over there. They recently destroyed one of the buildings, Henley Building. They say it's for disability reasons, but also there was an issue with pests in that building. So it's not known for its hygiene, say the least. So I prefer living on 8th Street.
Okay. So both of you guys mentioned your careers. So in the future, when you graduate, would you go back to Washington, D.C. to work there rather than study? And would you go back to the U.K. to work there?
I actually don't know. I think London is a unique city, but it also can be, living in a city can be lonely. I think my ideal choice would be like Paris, because I think culturally it has more to offer. But with London, it's just about like a bunch of buildings and restaurants or whatever. So there's not a lot to do. But being in Europe in general is nice because it's very easy to travel around. And that's definitely a bonus point when you go on study abroad in Europe. So yeah, but we'll see where life takes us.
Yeah, so I think I'll end up back in Washington when I graduate, just given the nature of what I want to do and the fact that, you know, I want to be in the State Department. And obviously, living in D.C., you kind of have to be there for the first couple years of your career, at the very least, if you want to get far in that field. So I was always my goal from, I think, even before I went to GUQ. But, you know, that was my main goal when it comes. I think it was further exemplified when I went to D.C. It further confirmed what I wanted to do. Like, I had some doubts. I was like, maybe I'll go to another city in the U.S. Maybe I'll do something international. I'm not sure yet. But now that I've gone for the past 4 months, I think that's kind of confirmed what I wanted to do.
So none of you guys would stay here?
I mean, you never know. You never know what might happen. Yeah, but I think for maybe the first 5-10 years of my career, I don't think I'd come back to Qatar. Maybe when I'm older, but you never know.
I disagree. I think, if anything, I've learned that as a Muslim woman, it's easier to live in a Gulf country. So I'm okay with staying here, but I think short term, I can live abroad, like for a few months or a few years, that's fine. But it's definitely a hard adjustment.
Yeah, true. Okay, so going into a semester abroad, obviously you guys had some expectations before going there. I want you guys to reflect on that for a bit, like expectations versus reality, compare them.
Okay, so for me, I think most people expect to go and have like ultimate freedom and think they'll have the most fun they'll ever have in their lives, which can be true. But I think there's also a lot of responsibility that falls on your back. And a lot of living alone is small, mundane tasks that you have to do. So it's not always as fun as expected. And also realizing there's no one there when you're home. No one's going to cook your food for you. No one's going to, you know. So I think it's just realizing the small little things your family does for you that now you have to take it upon yourself. It's also better if you can travel around, because I think staying in the same place for 4 months or more can get kind of boring. You kind of exhaust all your options and do all the possible activities. But yeah, it's fun, but it comes with its challenges, definitely.
Yeah, I'll second that. Yeah. I also live with my parents here, and living in DC for 4 months was a different experience for me, because you don't really realize how dirty the floors get until you live by yourself and live with your roommates, because no one's going to clean up after you. So that's something you learn after the first couple weeks or so. So that's one thing, obviously, the personal life sort of thing, the things you don't really think about until you live by yourself, like your parents. But also just living in a different city, and living in a city like Washington is a very different experience than living in Doha. And not in a good way or a bad way. It's just, it's a different set of things happening in Washington. You know, it's very political, obviously. I can't speak for Europe, but for Washington, it's very political. It's a different type of dynamic. A lot of people there are there for political reasons, and they're there for, they have sort of very big ambitions living there. So it's a very different city. So living there in a different environment is obviously something that's challenging, but also something you should kind of cherish at the same time. Not just in Georgetown, because also the main campus is full of students who think very highly of themselves and want to be somewhere in the future, but also just even if you go to some of the big think tanks or NGOs in Washington, a lot of people there are either Georgetown graduates or went somewhere else in D.C. or came from other universities in the United States and came there. So it's a different experience, and I think it's something people should do. Get out of comfort zone for a couple months and really see what you're made of. So,
did you guys both go like with a group of people in GUQ that you knew were gonna go to semester abroad, or did you go alone?
So for me, I was kind of the guinea pig. Like, no one really knew about the ability to go to SOAS or London specifically. So no one applied with me. I had to go alone. But going there, it's a unique experience because in London, you have the choice to live anywhere you want. You don't have to live in university housing. So although there was a group of study abroad students there that I met, it was also isolating in the sense that they all lived in the dorms that the university provided because they were cheaper, and I chose to go for the a bit nicer ones. But I think it helps to, again, be out of that comfort zone because you don't have someone that you are guaranteed to know. So it pushes you to talk to people and learn about people's experiences. And surprisingly, a lot of the people I met were from DC. So I found most of my friends, one of them was like from AU, another one from GW, and one was from Georgetown. So I kind of did get some of the Georgetown experience while I was there. But yeah, it's scary, but it's necessary, I think, because not everywhere in life will you go and have a guaranteed buddy with you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think I ever like got lonely?
It did, but also I think when there are other people with you in the same position, you kind of rely on each other. So we did all of the mundane tasks with each other, like going to the grocery store and stuff like that. But when I was there, it kind of hit the Ramadan period. And that's when it kind of started getting depressing because of the flipped sleeping schedule. And it was final season. So I think when there are non-Muslims with you, it's hard to adjust to that. But again, it's a part of the growing process.
Yeah, so I think in D.C. last semester, we had the largest study abroad contingent ever, I think, because Dean Mustry obviously expanded the seats at the end of the spring semester of last year. So we had, I think, around 40 students that came into D.C. last semester. But remember, because I lived downtown, not on campus, it was kind of split in two, in the sense that we had GQ students that were in A Street and the others that lived on the hilltop. And, of course, we met each other and talked to each other from time to time. But also, remember, A Street is in itself its own community. So we didn't just meet GUQ students, but also students that were part of the CALL program, which is a separate program Georgetown has. It's like a work experience type of thing. So it's a lot of students that are either transferring from other colleges to Georgetown, or they're from Georgetown when it's been a semester downtown. And also, there's grad students and even PhD students who are there. It's a really unique experience there. It's different than the hilltop. Whereas, you know, when you meet the people at the hilltop as well from GUQ, you know, you obviously go with the idea that you can hang with them a lot. But you also remember, even if you're on the hilltop, you're going to meet people that are on campus that are not from GUQ. They're from DC. They're from other parts of the country or even the world. So you obviously come in with the idea that you can hang out with your GUQ friends all the time. But over time, you kind of develop a kind of a new set of friends. But you also hang out with the GQ students as well. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it's important for people who are going in the future to keep in mind that it's great to have your GQ friends, but also keep in mind that you should kind of branch out and meet people that are there as well because of the different types of experiences they'll have as well that will make your experience unique. But no, when it comes to the GQ students I was there, I went with initially, we remained relatively close throughout the 4 months, especially with H Street, not just my roommates, but also the other students that were living on H Street. And even students living on the hilltop from time to time, I talk to them and hang out with them. But it's a different experience.
Okay. So, for those who are still juggling options for their study abroad destination, like me, I'm currently between either DC or Italy. So, we're going to put you guys against each other and we're going to do a comparison for a bit. I'm going to put DC versus UK against each other. So, if you were to quickly pitch into the current freshman and sophomore batch, how would you do so? To, like, try to convince them that, like, oh, no, DC is better than going to the UK, or, like, UK is better than going to DC.
Okay. I feel like going to the UK is definitely a different experience. You'd be doing something out of the box since, like, 90% of Georgetown students want to go to DC. And if you don't want to be in US politics, you don't need to go. Also, I feel like London generally is safer, which is kind of crazy to say.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is. It's also nicer. You have a lot of options in terms of food. There's a huge Muslim community, so it does feel safer in that sense. Whereas in the US, there's kind of hate crimes against Muslims right now. Yeah,
especially in Washington.
Yeah, especially if you're like visibly Muslim, you know, it's kind of different. Also, you're in Europe. You can travel around as much as you want, as long as you got a Schengen visa, or maybe you don't need it. And yeah, it's nice to leave that kind of bipolar, like, sense of the world of, like, US being the dominant place to go. And it's nice to see other cultures, because London's very diverse. And I think DC is too, but I think the DC culture, when it comes to politics, is very US-centric.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get out of that bubble, since we are in an American institution.
Look, I would say, again, I can't speak for the UK, but for the US and Washington, I think it's a game-changing experience for you. And not just in politics, but also just given the vast amount of people who live there, it is truly a diverse city. It is not just a bunch of American political wackos who are there, who come from God knows where. It's more than that. There's people from across the world who go there. Remember, this is where all the embassies are. It's where all the consulates are. So people from across, you're going to meet people from across the world. I met people from, like, parts of the world that I never thought I'd meet ever, and just in Washington, and not just on campus, but also in the city as well. And when it comes to traveling, surprisingly, traveling from D.C. is pretty cheap. And the reason why is because of something called Amtrak. So you can take a train from D.C. to Baltimore, and it costs, I think I paid like $10 or something. And then also there's the obvious one, D.C. to New York. Now, I didn't go myself because I already went to New York a couple years prior. But I had friends who took a bus from DC to New York and went there for a couple of days, and they had a blast, and they still talk about it to this very day. And not just that, but there's other cities that you probably wouldn't visit unless you go there, like Atlanta, for example. I never thought I'd ever visit Atlanta, Georgia, but I went there just for a weekend, and it was a really fun experience for me. So, you know, and that's just with airline tickets as well. Now, I had a friend who's very good at finding cheap tickets, but I'm sure there's a way around it as well when it comes to traveling. Domestically in the U.S., it's not that expensive. So in terms of traveling, it's really good. In terms of diversity, it's very good. In terms of education on campus, I would say that the diversity in curriculum is very diverse. You just by going on my axis and looking at the campus, the course schedule for the main campus courses is insane, because there's so much that they have, not just in foreign policy or in politics, but also in things like painting and criminology and sociology and psychology and things that you can't really take at GUQ, because obviously GUQ is a smaller campus, so the courses are more centered around politics and culture and that sort of thing. But going to DC, you can take courses that you never really would imagine you take, and not just on U.S. politics, but on things like European politics, Asian politics, South American politics, or culture, or in criminology, sociology, these sorts of different types of subjects that, you know, you might be interested in, but you can't really take a GUQ. So I'd say that in terms of academics, it's very good. And in terms of just living in the city itself, you know, obviously crime's an issue in D.C. I'm not going to sit here and pretend D.C. is a safe city. But if you're going to live on the hilltop, Georgetown's actually a pretty safe neighborhood as far as, you know, in terms of statistics, in terms of living there. You're not really going to get mugged if you walk down the street. Now, if you live downtown, and here's the thing about crime in the U.S., crime is very local based, so you can be in a really nice block, and then two blocks down, it's very bad. It's just the nature of how U.S. cities are. So, for example, where I lived, 8th Street, it's actually not that bad. But if you go down the bridge and go down maybe 10 minutes, you're in a bad neighborhood. So, you know, it's just, you have to be kind of conscious and wary of where you are. But I think that's the same in London as well. I don't think London, obviously London has its safe places and its bad places. And I think every city is like that. Any sort of major city, especially in the West, is like that, mm-hmm. Where there's some really good areas and some really bad areas, and you kind of have to have the local knowledge of where to go and where not to go. But I think that comes with time and experience. If you just talk to the locals who live there, they'll let you know. Like, for example, on the first day I went to D.C., I met like a bunch of random people in D.C. told me, don't go to Chinatown at night. And that's how and from then on, I never went to Chinatown at night because I've heard stories and that sort of thing. So, you know, obviously, in terms of safety, I can't guarantee you're going to be 100% safe all the time. Maybe if you want to go to like a really bad neighborhood at 12 a.m., you know, be my guest. But, you know, I'll just say, like, it's not as bad as what the media will say it is. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's still bad. But, you know, as long as you're safe and conscious and wary, you're not going to end up, you know, in danger.
Yeah, I also wanted to add, there are a lot of chances you can have to go to D.C. So you can do summer, but I don't think Georgetown covers that. You can go on the 1 week trips to experience it. So you can kind of have best of both worlds of like experiencing Italy or U.K. or even France if you're doing French, and then going to D.C. for a week or two. And I think I'm sure the 1 week trips are sponsored by Georgetown, but I don't think summers are because they're extra. But that's a good way to get like a mix of everything.
Yeah, true. Okay, so speaking of areas, let's circle back to the conversation, to the very essence of the study abroad experience. I want to ask you guys a question. What's the biggest cultural shock you guys had there?
For me, I think it's their work ethic. It was actually insane. So in SOAS, they don't have the same system as us in the sense where, okay, there are a lot of strikes going on all the time in London. Bus strikes, train strikes, teacher strikes, doctor strikes. So your whole life can be on pause at a random day. So that's one thing that professors can't do here at all. But on top of all of that, it's such a huge institution. The halls are huge. So there's not that personal connection, which is expected, but also you can tell the professors aren't into it as much. Mm-hmm. Students are always late. They do not care. They don't attend their classes, by the way, because no one takes attendance. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a crazy thing when I realized, like, I genuinely don't have to go to classes anymore, mm-hmm. and no one cares, because the way their system works is you only have like one or two assignments per semester. So you can only do that essay and not attend a single class and still pass because the professor doesn't know you. So that was insane coming from here where you only have like two absences and you're like,
and then you have
marked
F.
absent if you're, yeah, 2 minutes late. So, mm-hmm. that's definitely an adjustment. But I think that can be a bad thing because it doesn't force you to go to class anymore. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'd say for me, being in Washington, the big culture shock for me was just the professors themselves, because you can be talking to a professor, and it turns out he was, like, the former advisor to the president 20 years ago, and he's just talking to you normally. He's like, oh, yeah, back when I was in the administration, we did this and that. It was, like, a big decision, like, for example, in the Middle East or in Bosnia or in Kosovo, whatever. So there's that, especially because, also, remember, Georgetown's a bigger campus than this campus, but it's still small for American standards. So you can easily end up in a class, like a seminar of, like, 20 students, and the professor is like a former advisor to the president. Like, for example, I had one class on the Persian Gulf, and the professor used to work in the Clinton administration in the National Security Council on the Persian Gulf. And he was in the White House or in the Oval Office when President Clinton declared war on Serbia or something 20 years ago, maybe 25 years now. But yeah, it's the wealth of knowledge that these people have is insane. And just the experience is crazy because they'll talk to you like nonchalantly. They'll just be like, yeah, you know, I was in this administration. Yeah, I did this, I did that. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that you're talking to this person because he'll know like someone that's very famous or maybe even like a very senior policymaker that's very controversial, especially in Georgetown, especially SFS typically has a lot of practitioners. So they tend to work in the administrations that, you know, have done things that people do not like in terms of American foreign policy. So that's just one thing that I found, you know, that was a bit of a culture shock for me. Because obviously here you have people that are very well known, mm-hmm. but they're more so academics. They're not known for policymaking. Mm-hmm. So they have the PhDs and they talk a lot about certain issues. But over there, you have the practitioners who actually were making decisions and were in the office or in the room where things happened. So that is one thing that I think shocked me the most being there.
Okay, so reflecting back on the time that you guys were planning out your semester abroad, is there anything that you guys wish you knew beforehand, or like something that you forgot here that you wish you took with you over there?
For me, I wish I had packed lighter. I took a lot of clothes because, again, it was winter at the time. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. Also, a mistake I made is I didn't book my accommodation until I got there.
Oh.
And I got there like a week before the semester started. And what ended up happening was I had to pay for 9 months of accommodation. Now I was only there for four. Mm. So that was very expensive. But if you can get something that's sponsored, that helps a lot. Like for me, I had the Ministry of Education sponsoring me. Mm-hmm. So they covered basically everything except accommodation, which didn't make sense. But that helped me be able to go, because otherwise living in expensive cities, whether it's DC or London or Paris or Italy, you need all the help you can get. So definitely learning how to manage your money, learning even like when you need to do your laundry, when you need to clean the floors, mm-hmm. when you need to go to the grocery store, because again, you don't have a sense of when those things need to be done because you've never done them before. Yeah. Or even if you have, you weren't being relied on as much. So knowing how much food to get when it expires, that was a learning experience. Like knowing that you can't be cooking every day, you need to meal prep. That's a lot of pressure and it adds to the stress, because again, you don't want to like be wasting money ordering food, or like you don't want to be ordering junk food all the time. So I don't know. It's just, it's all a learning curve, and it's not something that someone can like prepare you for ahead of time.
Yeah, I'll second all of that, especially living on A Street, because it's an actual apartment. Whereas on Hilltop, you can get away with not cooking because there's Appy's, there's Leo's, there's these restaurants on campus, and you have the meal swipe program.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just kind of use it and get away with not cooking. And you don't even have a kitchen anyways, so I don't know how you'll cook anyways. But on 8th Street, it's different because you have your own kitchen and refrigerator. So all the issues that were mentioned earlier actually happen. So you don't really think about that through. You know, mm-hmm. when you go there, it's like, oh, I care. What am I going to do in D.C.? What am I going to do on the White House, whatever? But you don't really think about, oh, when should I clean my floors? When should I do my laundry? Yeah. When should I throw up the expired food, which has happened many times. So there's that. And one thing I regret doing is not learning how to cook. I got away with it because my roommate is very good at cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's one thing I should have done. And I think if I went back in time and did it all over again, I probably would cook more and be more conscious of my time. Because you don't really think about balancing school, work, personal life, all that,
yeah.
until you're actually there, especially when you live in an apartment. So it's a different experience, and which is why it's important for you to do it. Because it's one thing for you to stay, but it's another thing for you to actually go and try to balance all three things at the same time. When you're young and you're 20, you can kind of do these things. But when you're 25 and there's actual things, you have to balance your budget and your money mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, it's even worse because the stakes are higher. So it's better to do it now when the stakes are low and you can get away with making mistakes and you can get away with having dirty floors than when you're 25, 26 and you can't cook and you have expired food in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't, it can't work out the same way in the future. So I'd say that's the one thing I would have done. So if I had to talk to freshmen and sophomores who are still choosing today, I would say that before you go, you have to kind of balance your time-wise and be conscious of your time and say that I'm going to spend one day cleaning and one day, you know, at meal prepping or whatever. Because for me, like, I didn't really have a schedule for cleaning the apartment until the end of the semester. Because I think there was I had a kind of a euphoric moment, you know, eureka moment, rather, towards the end of the semester where I was sitting in my room and it was dirty and the floor was dirty. And I was like, how am I living like this? I'm living like a slob. So I actually went in and cleaned the entire apartment in the span of 2 hours. You know, my roommates were shocked. Like, well, why are you cleaning the kitchen and the living room and all that? And I was like, I can't live like this. You know, I just realized I've lived this for 3 months and it's like, I can't do it. So over time you learn. I'm not like, hopefully you learn, but it's better if you do it in August than in November.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm going to say about that issue.
It's definitely like a trial run for real life after graduation. And I think maybe the one tip is like, be more conscious of what's going on at home. Like learn how to cook, learn how to clean, what things you need and whatever. That way when you go, you already have everything on deck. You have a schedule, you have everything. Because that was an issue for me. Even though I knew how to cook, I didn't know how to clean as well. I didn't know how to do laundry. I didn't know what things I needed to buy and not. So be more present at home. That way when you leave, you know what to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not all new to you.
Okay, now I'm scared because I don't know how to cook or clean. Okay, so now we're going to do a rapid fire game. And basically, you guys have to just answer it in one word. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So, favorite spot to hang out in the city?
What's it called? I think it was called Seven Dials Market or Chinatown. Chinatown was my favorite place to go.
Mm-hmm. DuPont Circle. It's a beautiful neighborhood. Amazing. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll write that down. Your go-to food option?
Ooh, I love Nando's. Every person in London loved Nando's, but also Dishoom. It was like a really popular Indian place there. It was fire.
So I'll give you two answers. One, on campus, Epicurean. I hate Leo's. I'm going to die on that hill. People are going to say, oh, why do you hate Leo's? I can't eat that food. It tastes like, I don't know, pigeon food. But Epicurean is better. It's greasy, but it's good. And then in terms of outside of campus, there's a place called Halal Guys. It's very good.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's very good. They sell good shawarma and good gyros. My Turkish friends will hate that. The gyros is good. But yeah, it's expensive, but it's good. I mean, in terms of takeout, but again, I think the same issues in London. You have to tip and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yes, yeah. I forgot about tipping. Okay, a tradition that you guys would like to bring back to GUQ?
I think, let's see. I really liked the Muslim association they had there. I know we have one here, but there it was such like a, it felt like a sisterhood, which I liked. And they also had a market outside of uni every Thursday, I think, where a bunch of like small businesses would come and sell food and stuff, which we have with Farmers. But I just feel like it's not the same because Farmers is not like mainly food, and it's like taken over by Qataris and locals. But yeah, definitely something that's for Georgetown students.
So there's this club on the hilltop called the Phil Nemozian Society. So what it does, it's like a debate society, but it's more of an open-ended debate society where it's like they have a general motion. There's like different sides of the issue. So it's not like a binary 3v3 or yes or no type of thing. They have, like, for example, we had a debate about the recent Albright issue when trying to rename the SFS school for Madeleine Albright. They had a motion like that, and there were people that were very supportive of it, very against it, but also people in the middle, independent. So I think that's a very good way to kind of talk about certain issues affecting the Georgetown community. So I think if we can do that on this campus, it'll be great.
Okay, thank you guys so much for joining us, and thank you so much for your time. I hope our listeners find this helpful. I found it very helpful. I think now I know where I want to go. thank you so much.
Thank you.
No worries.
We had fun.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of GUQ Speaks. We hope you've gained valuable insights and inspirations from our conversation today. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to follow us on our Instagram page @GUQ_speaks, and be sure to leave a review on Spotify to show your support.